Petroc Willey from the Maryvale Institute, where I'm the Dean of Graduate Research.
My name is Caroline Ferry, and I'm the Head of Catechetical Formation, also at the Maryvale Institute in Birmingham.
Tell us a bit about what the Institute does.
Well, it offers programmes of very basic formation for catechists, all the way up to research degrees. So it's, I suppose, one of the distinctive things is the way in which there can be a constant reflection from research down to parish practice. And that makes it particularly interesting to be able to really listen to every level of the debate here and see how the connections are working.
So what kind of suggestions then, what kind of input are you bringing to this synod?
The main thing is that the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a pearl of great price. It's quite lovely. I received it from the Holy Father and I said to him, thank you for this pearl of great price. And he said, I think so too, which is such a delightful, humble response from the Holy Father.
We hear quite often during this synod that the Catechism is not well enough known. It was published 20 years ago, and yet it's a pearl that still has to be discovered.
Yes, absolutely. There are different ways of speaking about it and helping people to understand. But the structure is one of the simplest ways of just the four parts and how Trinitarian it is, how focused and rooted in the incarnation in Jesus as God and man.
Just a couple of other things about the Catechism I think of really importance, which have not been discovered yet, is that it's being understood as content only. And while it's understood as content only, it will remain a dry, dusty book. But it's been written to engage for new evangelization the spiritual life of the person who works with it, so to bring about a conversion to Christ. And it's been written as a pedagogical text. In other words, it's been written as enshrining how to teach the faith as well as what the faith is. As soon as those two things are understood with the content, it becomes something everybody wants to use. But without that, it becomes something that kills catechesis rather than brings it alive. So I really hope this rediscovery, which is not widely known, it's not that the church doesn't present it like that. Somehow catechists are not reading very simply what the church says about its own document here.
So why do you think that is?
Do you know, I'm finding most people don't read documents. They don't. If people take up a book, they don't read the introduction. They don't read the back cover. It's very simple. People, funnily enough, don't actually look at contents pages. So they go in thinking they know what something is. And we've been in a very arid realm in catechetics. So for many years, it was very dry and didactic. Then there was a big reaction to make it very experiential and fuzzy. Now there's another reaction. We're going back to dry didactic. Now, the catechism is not either of them. It really is the holistic presentation in a really life-giving way of a spiritual life, which can be taught to others as the fullness of the way of Christ, but in a very, very attractive way. So I hope it'll hold the centre of a real renewal.
A lovely part of the catechism is the beauty of the pictures in it, and there's been a lot in the synod about the importance of beauty. The Holy Father strengthens the idea that it's the beauty of the moral life of the saints and the beauty of the patrimony of the church's sacred art. And there's been several interventions about the importance of beauty. And the beauty in the catechism helps to do that. Father Marco Rupnik is here, who does fabulous modern mosaics, and his work has been used in the compendium, and he's here strengthening that whole sense of the importance of beauty for evangelization.
Now, more recently, we've seen the publishing of UCAT, a catechism, if you like, designed especially for the younger generation. Yeah. How does this relate to the original work of the catechism? How useful is it, do you think, to provide perhaps more up-to-date modern ways of really engaging with people who perhaps don't read, not just the back cover and the introduction, but the actual book itself?
I'm a great fan of UCAT. I love the catechism so much. Anything else being published for me is going to be a disappointment. However, UCAT has got the most beautiful language. It really is written, I think, for probably the 14 to 18 year group in particular. It's got a very attractive language and way of presenting the faith, and I really would commend it. And we use it a lot in England.
How much success do you think it has had?
It's sold a lot of copies. I think the thing about all catechetics is you're not supposed to receive a book and study it on your own. Catechetics is a dialogue always. It's always people working together. And so you have to actually go into a group. And the Holy Father says that in the introduction, work with others and read it together. As soon as you do that, it's rediscovered. even one-to-one. But I don't think any bit of the church's teaching or development of catechesis can happen on one's own, which is why we've got a big question about the way in which online is developing at the moment, because in a way we already have very isolated youths sitting at their computer terminals. This is really beginning to encourage just more of the same, whereas we ought to be building community, and catechesis has got to be done with others, I think.
But if young people are not coming to where the community is, to the parish, how do you overcome that without using perhaps online resources?
Sure. No, I think you do use online as well. So I think you use online, you use media. Here am I talking to somebody, I don't know who's listening, but to somebody out there listening. So you use that, but the point is, because communion is the big thing, with the Blessed Trinity, with the saints, with each other, it's all got to be used for the sake of bringing people together so they can experience life together and growing in the faith together.
We're hearing a lot of talk at the Synod about whether there should be an institutional role for catechists, a redefining of the role of the catechist. I'd like to ask your opinion on that.
It's been a very interesting discussion on that particular point, because you can see in Africa, it's a 24-hour, 7 days a week role, and so the catechist really isn't always as well educated, informed as they could be. And it's a major role for the transmission of the faith. So that would be one very positive inclusion for a special ministry for catechists. In the West, there have been more concerns that it would separate people out. And since everyone is meant to be evangelising, all parents, people in the parish, would it indicate that there's a special group who do that, who do the transmission of the faith, and not the rest of us? And so there are two opinions at the moment as to whether that's a good idea or not. What is clear is that all catechists need serious formation and much more attention to their formation.
There certainly has been a big focus here on the laity, as whether it's parents in families or lay people who are reaching places where, again, people are not coming to the normal parish life or reaching out to those who've dropped away from their faith. Do you think that will be, or do you think that should be, perhaps the main focus from this synod?
Well, you're speaking to a layman, so I'm very grateful for the opportunities I have. I'm very well aware of the fact that the lay apostolate is mainly not serving in the church in a particular role, but it really is. It's the energising of the whole people of God. At Maryvale, we have been set up as an institute for lay formation, so we're very committed to this area. And the church, since Vatican II, has now evolved a set of qualifications and missioning, if you like, of lay people through a baccalaureate and a licence, specifically designed for lay people and to mirror the normal secular qualifications. So I think there is taking seriously at an institutional structural level the use of the laity. What's really the big message here is that you can put any structures in place in the church you like, but if you don't actually have the right people, and when I say the right people, it's only people who are humble and willing to look at themselves and work with the Spirit of Christ, then the structures become fossilized, the people get into places of power, and the whole thing becomes disjointed. And with lay people in those positions where they're not well formed or they're not committed to the church in the way they should be, you actually get a deformation of the church's mission. So I think the church is trying to see how do we get lay people in a way that's really respectful, that forms them, first of all, in a kind of a real ecclesial spirit, just such a love for the church that they know that they will collaborate with their bishops and love them. And this is the thing that's really struck me, is the way the bishops have such a lovely communion with each other here. And the way they speak about the love of their people all the time. They almost can't speak about anything apart from the concerns they have for their diocese. And that is a very moving thing for a layperson to realise that bishops do. That's what's on their heart all the time.